For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Took us out of Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Says Kedushas Levi, Shelo Sucha L'Spoil L'Savo as Tanug B'Davar Mius, that you won't be able to tolerate the enjoyment of disgusting things. We enjoy disgusting things. Okay? Kapshuto, like, it's simple what that means, and also in compared to spirituality. Even something that's glatt klesher, you know, an 18-ounce steak, whatever it is. Compared to spirituality, it's disgusting. So the idea is, says Kedushas Levi, Kedushas Rim, I took you out of enjoying the abominations of Egypt. That's where you found your pleasure. That's where you found your simchas achayim. That's where you found your enjoyment. Vacations, cars. The etzem, there's nothing wrong with them, but that, I mean, that's what you live for. That's what you found your enjoyment. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to redeem you. In other words, the Jewish neshama is going to be redeemed and develop a taste for the true pleasures of the world, the spiritual pleasures. And that's Shabbos. Shabbos and Pesach are tied continuously. In Kiddush, we say Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Right? There's a sanctification of time, a sanctification of a place. Well, we can't go into all that. But basically, Shabbos and every Yontif, you get this Neshama Yisera enabling to mamish, feel, and enjoy the spirituality of things, the real Tanug, the real pleasures of life. So every Shabbos, you get another Geula Mitzrayim. You get another redemption from the Egypt, from Mitzrayim, Tsar, Tsoris, from whatever straits and confines. That's what the word Tsar means, the root word of Mitzrayim. That bind your soul, that confined your soul to not feeling the Geshmak, because the more you get involved in the Hevle Olam Hazeh, in the vanities of this world, the vanities of this world, the less you feel spirituality. That's our whole job here. The whole job here is come down here and start to refine ourselves, to develop ourselves spiritually. And we've said it many times in this class, Rabbeinu Yonah. You go to the next world exactly the taste you developed in this world. Right? If all you did was develop a taste for physicality, you go to the next world and it's a living hell. Because it's a pure spiritual dimension, and you're still craving physicality. That's it. That's the geula. That's what it means to have redemption. A person can be in Golis and mamish have a geula, so to speak. Well, obviously, it's not the same. When you have a base of Migdash, you see the divine presence, you see you have a closeness to Hashem, and you feel that closeness, and you feel a geshmak in Torah mitzvahs. Oh, that talk is a real geula. The truth in our lives, every day, is divided between a golus and a geula. We have the golus when we have to be involved in the world, whatever it might be. And our geula, we have our little redemption every time we get to sit and learn Torah and do mitzvahs. In another dimension, the truth is, there's nothing mundane in Jewish life. Everything is tied into a mitzvah. From the time you get up in the morning, you say Moda Ani, to the time you go to bed, say Kriya Shema, there's brachas throughout the days, and whatever you put in your mouth, you have to watch if it's kosher. Everything's tied into a mitzvah. So in that sense, the whole day is spirituality. It all depends what your mindset is. Okay, that's the idea here. That's the idea of a redemption. Question? There's a mashal that Rabbi Fran gives. It's not his mashal, actually it's from or Yechezkel gives us a mashal. Says, talk about redemption and golus, you know, especially in America, everything's gone so fine for us here, you know, which is the worst golus, when you think it's fine. just because you're not physically, you know, abused, you think it's fine.
Also, we
so the example that's given is Rabbi Yechzkel of Levenstein gives us examples. The Moshul says in America, for example, I know he says about America, but in general, when you have a Golus, whether it's the golden age of Spain or it's America, so it's a chasna. So it's Mamash a chasna here. It's beautiful. You know, you go to a chasna, it's fantastic. You know, you got a 20-piece band, right? Or a guy with the Casio, whatever. Right? Beautiful music. Oh, smorgasbord, Bustavils, you know? Liquor table, Johnny Walker, Jack Daniels, at least two going that will get Oilam Haba. Okay? And the whole works, right? Spread out there. Everything you want, food, drink, music, it's beautiful. Everything you want in Oilam Haba. There's only one thing missing. The kala. The bride. Mamela, you have nothing. You have a chasna, no kala, you don't have a chasna. So that's what we live in. We have everything, coal too, whatever you want. Computers, you know, and basically we can practice our religion the way we want, and you know, beautiful countryside, whatever it is, nice houses, nice cars, jobs, do what we want. We got everything. We're only missing one thing, the Shechina, the base of Migdash, right? The Geula. That's all. Just the main thing. That's what we're at, a chasna with everything but the kala. That's it. That's where we're at right now. And we forget. Now, the biggest goal is we don't feel like we're missing the kala. We feel everything's fine. We don't need her. So that's the problem. That's the problem these four-fifths had in Egypt. And Taka, that's the problem that we're suffering through now. Okay. Now, chapter 12, verse 16, Mikra Kodesh. Okay, and these are days of holiness, right? Remember, Pesach is the first holiday, right? We consider Nisan the first of the year, by the way. You should know. We count the months, which is in our Torah portion, from Nisan. Therefore, when Rosh Hashanah is described in the Torah, right, it says the first day of the seventh month, which sounds funny to us, right? I always like it when people ask, you know, when they say, you know, Rosh Hashanah is late this year, which is, you know, by definition, oxymoron, since Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, how can it be? Okay, at any rate. So, Mikra Kodesh, these are days of holiness. Now, we're just talking about all holidays, right? Everything is Zecher Tziatz Mitzrayim. Everything is a remembrance of coming out of Egypt. Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, everything, as we say in our prayers. So, how does this translate in physicality? Now, the truth is, you know, everything we said about getting a geshmak and learning to enjoy spirituality with the same enthusiasm that we have for physicality, the truth is that our bodies are in a neshama, and we're supposed to combine those things together. That's why all mitzvahs involve physicality. Okay? It involves physicality. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to uplift the physical world to the spiritual dimension. So, here too, these days of holiness, how do we do that? So the Mechilta tells us, Rashi brings it down, Katsheyu b'mayachol b'mishta b'ksus nikia. You should make it holy. How do you make it holy? By materialistic methods. By good food and drink and nice clothes, basically. The halacha is that on Yom Tov you should wear even nicer clothes than you do on Shabbos. Okay? And that doesn't make a Yom Tov holier than Shabbos. It's just in this aspect, that's the way you honor it. Okay? And even af b'chol shomayad. Okay? Now, chol shomayad, right, are those intermediate days between the Yom Tov of Pesach, you know, the first 2 days, and the last 2 days, we have the intermediate days. That's called chol shomayad. Okay? Sukkot as well. Now, a person has to be very careful not to treat them with disrespect, as it says in Pirkei Avos. Those two should be treated with extra, you know, good food, drink, and nice clothes. As a matter of fact, a person should try to schedule their vacation during that time. Not supposed to work during those days. The trouble with those days is that you're allowed to do work. What I mean by you're allowed to use electricity and drive your car. I'm not talking about the Yom Tov. I'm talking about intermediate days. So therefore, we forget there's a holiness to them. There's still a Yom Tov aspect to them. Okay? So that's something we have to bear in mind. Now, there's specific halachas how you do this mitzvah. For different people, the children, you give candy and nuts. For your wives, you're supposed to get jewelry or nice clothes. And at the meals, in general, you're supposed to have wine and meat. Meat. Okay? So you're supposed to have that. Okay, especially wine. Okay.
Lamb chops.
Lamb chops, absolutely. It's a big mitzvah. Okay. And, okay, that's one thing. Now, a few verses later, chapter 12, verse 17, okay, Ushmartem es ha-mitzvahs. Excuse me, that was the drusha. I gave the drusha away. Ushmartem es ha-matzahs. Shmartem es ha-matzahs, and you should guard the matzahs. This is where we get the halacha of shmura matzah. Okay, shmura matzah has specially been watched since the time of the reaping of it, right? Special watching of it. These are the matzahs that we used to eat on Pesach. So the drusha on this is the word matzahs it's written the same way. It can be read mitzvahs. Ushmartem es ha-mitzvahs. You should watch the mitzvahs. Okay, what does it mean? Just like with matzah, you should mamish watch it, you know. If you ever been to like a matzah bakery thing, right? You know, your mom, if you got to want, if you 18 minutes, you know, 1 second longer or less, it turns into chametz. At the precise time, you got to put it in the oven. If you let it sit one more moment, it becomes chametz. Okay? That's how we're supposed to treat mitzvahs, says the Mechilta. Right? You need to, like a mitzvah comes your way, as he puts it here, just like you can't let the matzah become chametz, kach ein machmitzim es ha-mitzvah, eila im ba mitzvah yadecha, oisa miyad. If a mitzvah comes your way, do it immediately. Don't let it sit there and become chametz. Okay, you should have a zerizus. In other words, mitzvah comes your way, don't say, I can give tzedakah tomorrow, I don't have to give it today. You give it right now, immediately. Right? If you had a pleasure in the physical world, you never say that, you know? You got a nice geschmack, you know, bourbon cake there in front of you, and it's, I can have it tomorrow. No, you cop a ride. That's how you, again, back to the idea, you have to feel the same way, more so spirituality. Okay? Alright, shmartim is a mitzvah. Okay. And the truth is, we learn a lot of that idea of called zerizus. An alertness and a zealousness and a quickness to do mitzvahs from who? From who? Guys, remember? Avram, very good. Ran after the cows, you know, that he slaughtered. Oh, sorry. Three of them. Tons. With mustard. The first deli. He did it, right? Where's my cow? I had a cow here one time, you remember? I left the cow. I should have got the sheep. I should have. Okay. All right. Now I want to show you. I want to show you how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu love goes to the Jewish people. And it says in chapter 12, verse 29, that all the firstborn died, even the firstborn of the captives in Egypt, even the firstborn of their servants. Okay, so they really didn't put us in servitude. Right? Why did they get clapped? Why did they die? Why? Says Rashi, Shayu smeichim le'idam shel Yisrael. They rejoiced in the fact that we were suffering. You know, the anti-Semite who doesn't actively do anything to us, but gets, you know, gets a fine pleasure that the Jew is suffering. So because of that, they die too. Okay? Now, let's talk about the mixed multitude. Remember them? The mixed multitude. Chapter 12, verse 38 is the first indication we get about this group. The Erev Rav. The Erev Rav. Okay?
That's spelled the same rabbi as Erev
So Rashi says there, Tarubois Umish Shogerim. It was a mixed multitude of actually false converts. The Vilna Gaon says on this, now these, first of all, let me give you background. These are the guys that caused all the trouble in the desert. Those 10 times we tested Hashem, okay? They did it. It was them. It wasn't Israel proper, but they're considered part of us, so we all, you know, that's it. Once they're considered part of Israel, then we're held responsible for them. But they did basically the golden calf incident. They complained in the desert about the water and about not having meat, right? Sorry, I'm a meat kick here. Right?
Really?
So, at any rate, they start all the stuff. They're always complaining, and they cause us a lot of problems. That's why we really, first of all, we don't proselytize anyways, but we don't really like converts. No, true converts we love dearly. We have 36 times in the Torah it's repeated to love the convert. But the false ones, you know, cause us a lot of trouble. Okay? Also, the Vilna Gaon says, to the end of days, these are the Balei Machlokes. These are the people that cause dispute and disruptions and arguments and dissension in Israel. They're all descendants of the heir of Rav. And he says amazing things in the Vilna Gaon. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu insisted on taking him out. Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous cheshbon, you can be sure. But he says because he took him out, they were the ones that caused the first destruction of the temple, the second destruction of the temple, all the goals that we're in, it's all because of this mixed multitude. It's amazing. Scary thought. Okay. We mentioned many times in these parshas, in this parshias, can't go back to the commentaries in the Hertz. The Hertz is, Mamish needs to be in a Hertz. Okay, it's garbage. Okay. Now, did I get that on tape? Oh, good. Alright, we talked about many times, last week's portion before, flip that sucker over. Yeah, we'll wait, that's alright, we'll wait. This live recording, we're waiting for Jeff to flip over his tape. Okay. So we talked about Egypt. Whenever we talk about series of problems or the reasons for the exile and the redemption, we got to remember this is a sign for the future. It's going to happen the same way. Okay? Remember we repeated that? It's a Maase Avos. Okay? So chapter 12, verse 41. Look at these words. V'yehi be'etzem hayom hazeh. Mamish punkt at that very day. Okay? Came the salvation, came the redemption of Egypt. What does it mean? V'yibe eitzim hayom hazeh, mamsh on that very day, exactly. Okay? So, the Rashi quotes the Mechilta, Magid comes to tell us, Shekim menigia kates, when the time of redemption came, lo achlam amakam keherafayim. Hashem didn't keep us there not a moment longer, not even like the blink of an eye. On the 15th of Nisan, the angels came to Avram and told him this, you know, prophecy, right? Bris ben Abasarim, that your children will be in a land not yours, right? Now, on the 15th of Nisan, exactly, right, 400 years later, came the redemption. Now, why am I emphasizing this so much? It's because if we're in Golis and we're suffering, and by the way, this goes for our personal little source that we're going through, our personal suffering, there's a designated time how much we have to suffer. Right? It's all it's not haphazard. It's all being calculated. And mamish, when the time comes for our personal redemption or redemption of the nation of Israel, Hashem will take us out. Yeshua Hashem keherifayin. The salvation of Hashem will come in a blink of an eye. Not a moment longer will we suffer. Not a moment longer than we have to. So that has to give us tremendous comfort. Hashem is calculating and scheduling it all. I'm going to turn over now, just a second. Okay, so we learned it from here. And the truth is, individually, we learned this concept once before. Does anybody remember from who? Where we learned this concept that the salvation of Hashem comes in the blink of an eye? Yosef. Vayiratzum in a bar. They raced him out of the pit. Mamish, in a moment's notice, he went from the pit to viceroy of Egypt. And we said there, the Chofetz Chaim talked about that. That's how the redemption comes. It'll race all of a sudden, it'll come. In the middle of the night, we were raced out of Egypt, right? Okay. Debate, by the way, it's a debate whether we went out, we left Egypt in the middle of the night or we left during the day. Okay, now, famous Beis Halevi here, chapter 13, verse 8. I was trying to say Ches or 8, so it came out Ace. Okay, it's a tough crowd today, you know what I mean? They're not laughing at nothing. Okay, alright, chapter 13, verse 8. Bavur ze asa Hashem li. Because of this, Hashem, you know, made for me. Bechol dor v'dor chayav adam liros satzmo kilu hu yatzam mitzrayim. From here we learn that in every generation, a person has to visualize as if he himself came out of Egypt. Okay? Now we have this in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. We elaborate on this concept. At Pesach night, you're supposed to mamsh, it's here again. There's a Yitzias Mitzrayim again. Right? And don't, let me tell you, don't think you're not in a Mitzrayim. There's a constant need to take us out of our Mitzrayim, out of our tzoras, out of our slavery, whatever's enslaving us, mentally or physically, right? Constant need for that. Now, the Beis Halevi says deeper. The Beis Halevi says, on another Rashi, it says, "Ba'avur sha'akaya mitzvosav, mitzvosav, kigoyin Pesach matzah morer." Right? Hashem took us out of Egypt so I could do these mitzvahs, the Pesach, matzah, and maror. Okay? Ba'avur zeh. And as a matter of fact, in the Gadosh Pesach, we point to the matzah at this point, and we say, "Ba'avur zeh, because of this, Hashem took us out of Egypt." Okay? Carl, you remember this from last year? So, the Beis Halevi, famous thing, we always read this, you know, you hear what I'm saying here? You read this and you think, okay, we came out of Egypt, right? Didn't have time for the bread to rise to Kaiser rolls, right? What do? Stayed flat as matzah. Therefore, in commemoration of that, right? Ba'avur zeh, because of that, right, therefore I'm eating these matzahs tonight, this unleavened bread, because it's wrapped times 11, right? That's when we learn it. Beis Halevi says, no, you got it all backwards. Estakel b'raiso bara alma, says the Zohar. Hashem looked into the Torah, the blueprint, and created the world. The Torah, the mitzvahs, spirituality, that came first. Because, says the Beis Halevi, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says, eat matzah on Pesach. Therefore, Hashem brought the salvation out of Mitzrayim in such a fashion that the bread didn't rise. So therefore, let's look at it again, chapter 13, verse 8. Bavur zeh, because of this, zeh is always pointing to the object. Bavur zeh, because of this matzah, asa Hashem li b'tzeisim yimitzrayim. Therefore Hashem made the salvation in Egypt the way he did, because there's this mitzvah. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? Everybody got it? Because of this matzah, that's why Hashem made the redemption the way it did. It's hard for us to think in those terms, because we got everything backwards. Okay, so he relates like something more simple. Right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah of honoring your father and mother. Right? That's why you're born from a father and mother. Hashem could have brought you into this world in a different fashion. Right? Whatever it's like eggs, whatever it's a fruit. Right? I mean, it's no more of a miracle. Right? Hashem brought you in that fashion in this world with parental units, right? Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah of honoring your father and mother. That's the way it works. That's what you got to think. You got to start thinking in those terms. That ties into what we said at the beginning of the class. You start thinking in terms of spirituality comes first. That's the main thing. That's the cause of all causes. And everything else is merely an unfolding of it. The physical world is merely a mirror of that. Then you start thinking, like a Torah Jew. You start thinking things, you start seeing things in spirituality, and therefore you get a geschmack in spirituality. And in reference to that, I was wondering how I was going to tie this in, says the Maharal, says many other people, including Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, and he quotes the Maharal actually. So he says here, you ever wonder Why? Pesach comes in the spring, right? Nisan is called Chodesh Ha'aviv, the month of the spring month, right? He says again, it's the same idea. Whatever you see in what we call nature must be a translation of what's happening in the real world, in the spiritual world. The rebirth, the spring of the nation of Israel happens in Nisan, right? Therefore, Hashem made a mirror of that in the physical world, and you have the physical world blossoming, right? In the spring, in the month of Nisan, the blossoms of the tree started. But you understand, that's merely a physical translation of what's happening in the spiritual dimension, the rebirth of Israel. Oh, I see the looks on your face. But that happened many, many years ago. Wrong. It's happening again. Bayamim ahem bizman hazeh means those things will come back to us. It's happening again. There's a rebirth, a renewal of the nation of Israel every Pesach. There's a reacceptance of Torah on Shavuos. There's a re-serving Hashem in Simcha on Sukkot. And whatever else, whatever other hashpah comes down during those times, it's back with us again. We don't understand that because we're locked in time. Okay? But you gotta, you know, we're gonna see in times of Mashiach, and we're gonna get outside of time. Past, present, future are gonna be all one entity. Right? And these things like are spiral. Right? It's a very hard concept. But basically, that's the idea here. Okay. Another thing. There's always another thing. Okay. Says Hashem judges the world twice a year. You know, there's a whole debate in the Gemara. When was the world created? Was it created, right? In other words, Adam is considered the creation of the world, when Adam was born. Because the creation of the world was on the 25th of Elul, right? And 6 days later was Adam. That's the first of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. Or the opposite. And when I say opposite, I mean 6 months later. 25th of Adar, right, would have been the creation of the world. And Adam was put in the world Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Was the world created in Nisan? That's considered the creation of the world with Adam, because that's the climax. Right? Was it created in Nisan? Was it created in Tishrei? And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Ezer go back and forth in the Gemara about this. So one says it was in thought, and one was in action. Hashem thought about creating the world in Nisan, right? The thought of Hashem and the actual action of putting man on earth, that was in Tishrei. At any rate, these two times of year, there is an aspect of creation. So it says Hashem really judges the world these two times a year, at least these two times of year. The Gemara, there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, says Hashem judges the world four times a year. So it says, the different aspects of these 2 months is Tishrei is a day of judgment, Rosh Hashanah. So aspect of fear of Hashem. While Nisan is an aspect of Avas Hashem, of a love for Hashem. So Hashem judges the world in Nisan. The judgment of the world is how much the nations of the world love Israel. It's a very bad time of year for them. Okay? That's what he judges them. And he takes vengeance upon them for the sake of his children, us, the children of Israel, when they do us wrong. And that's why it's called Nisan. It's a time of Nisim, of miracles, when Hashem takes vengeance for us. Yeah? Get excited about that! Dang, you guys. All right. That brings us to this point. It really doesn't, but it's a way of tying it in, you know. Leil Shemurim Hu LaHashem. It's a day, a night of watching. It's a watch night for Hashem, chapter 12, verse 42. We say this also in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. This night, what does it mean? Sforno says, Shayam Mitzape Lutziam. This is a day Hashem Yurn was looking forward to. He was looking for all those years that we were in exile in Egypt and suffering. Hashem was with us suffering. We said that it's represented by the thorn bush, right? Hashem appears to Moshe in the thorn bush. He suffers with us. So it says Hashem was looking forward to this time when he could take us out of bondage. He himself was redeemed with us, whatever that means. So this is a day of watching for Hashem. He looked forward to this. And the verse continues, L'chol b'nei Yisrael dorasam. For all of Israel, for all generations, it's a night of watching. It's a special night, so it says it's a night we're protected. We don't say certain prayers before we go to bed at night, which we usually say to protect us. We don't need to on this night. Okay? So another idea that it's a Leil Shmurim, L'chol b'nei Yisrael dorasam, it's a night of watching for all generations, and that is, again, this idea of a paradigm of exile and redemption. As the Torah says, Ba'amram b'nisan nigalu, u'b'nisan asidim ligal. Just like in Nisan we were redeemed from Egypt, the future redemption, our tradition tells us the future redemption will also be in Nisan. So this is a night of watching in plural. Okay? The first redemption and the last redemption will happen in this month. So is our tradition. Okay? And there's many commentaries to talk about this. Okay. Now, Chodesh Hazeh Lechem, that verse that we have, this month is to you, which is like the first mitzvah we're given to as a nation, chapter 12, verse 2. So from here, we learn what we already talked about, basically, is that we count the months from Nisan, right? And some people hold, Ramban, Nachmanides, talks about it here, that this is a mitzvah in the Torah, right? And it could be a mitzvah not to write, for example, on whatever day is, January 28th, whatever it is, not to write 1/28. Because if you write 1, you're saying January is the first month, and which negates this mitzvah in the Torah. You can write January, but don't write 1. Don't write the number 1. Write out January. You understand what I'm saying? Because we don't, that's a violation of this mitzvah. HaKodesh Hazeh Lechem, Rishon Hu. This is the first month. Nisan is the first month. Right? So that's the way we're supposed to count. And the same way, by the way, that there's a Zechira of Yom HaShabbos, a remembrance of the day of Shabbos, right? In Hebrew, right, there's no Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni. The first day, the second day, the third day of what? Today's Yom Chamishi, the fifth day of what? To Shabbos. After Shabbos, we start over again in the count. So in that way, Zachar Shema Shabbos, you're remembering Shabbos every day. The same way, there's a Zechira of Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remember Egypt. And the way of doing that is the counting of these months. Right? Nisan is the first month, right? Or whatever it is. Adar is the 11th month, a 12th month of what? Right? Of the time of the redemption from Egypt. Okay? And again, these ideas, Shabbos and Pesach, continually intertwined. You know, as we mentioned, got people stretching in class. I have to call this lunch and stretch, learn and stretch, stretch and learn. I don't know. Okay. What else do we got here for you? Okay, now listen to this. We got a bunch of open miracles, right? Nisan, as we already said, Nisim, the month of miracles, and we have more open miracles during Pesach, right? So, 10 plagues, the Kriyas Yamsif, the splitting of the sea, so forth and so on. So, what is the purpose of all these great miracles? Right? It's not, you know, you can't just answer, it's to believe in God. You have open miracles, you believe in God. That's very dangerous. The danger of that is if you need miracles to believe in God, then where does that put us now? Right? As a matter of fact, miracles can take away from your belief in God because of that very reason. If you see too many open miracles, then you negate the fact that God is present in everyday affairs, in everyday nature. Right? And that's the ultimate amuna, belief in God, is seeing Him in everyday events. Okay? So, Nachmanides Ramban says the following: Min anisim hagadolim v'mufarsamim, from the open and revealed and well-known miracles, adam moide benisim anistorim shem yisod haTorah kula. The purpose of open great miracles is that a man should come to recognize and admit the hidden miracles of our everyday lives. That is the foundation of the Torah. Hear this. Shekol devarenu Umikarenu, kulam nisim, everything that happens to us. Everything that happens to us, kulam nisim, they're all miracles. Ein bahem teva, no such thing as nature. Uminhago sholam, or the way of the world, no such thing. Ben berabim, ben biyochid, whether it's for a community, whether it's individually. Eila im yasa mitzvahs yatzlichenu, right? The im yavo aleim, no, not too good. So what's the formula? The formula he says, a person does mitzvahs, he'll be matzliach, he'll be successful. When he doesn't, he won't be successful. She'ein la'odam chelek b'toyas Moshe ad she'namin. A person doesn't have a portion in the Torah of Moshe until he believes she'kol devarenu mikrenu kulam nisim ein b'hem teva. Until he believes mamish that everything that happens to us individually as a nation, there is no nature to him u'minhago she'olam, but they're all from Hashem. They're all miracles. You hear this? Very stark lesson. It's not just a very nice thing, and a person's spiritually sensitive that he sees God in the world. If you don't see God in your everyday lives, in the nation of Israel, you're mamish, you have no share in the Torah of Moshe. You hear that? It's mamish, that's the avoda. Not forget open miracles. See these miracles and recognize that these are open miracles. And then he goes on, Achiluk ben Teva, this is not the Rambam, somebody else. So the only difference between nature and miracles is that nature happens on an ongoing basis. You know, that's it. We get regulated to it. Okay? Comes every day. That's what we say in the Moedim. Nisim shel b'chol yom imanu. Right? On the miracles are every day with us. Okay? So it's interesting. You know, the two holidays of Geula, of redemption, are Purim and Pesach. And you know about Purim. Mordechai and Esther were the last of the prophets. That's it. The lights went out. No open miracles. Hashem's name's not in Megillah Esther. So I always wondered if, you know, you could translate this, Minanisim HaGedolim Tamufersamim, from the open and revealed miracles. You know, his words here, what's that? Pesach. A person recognizes the hidden miracles. Purim. From a Pesach, a person can see the miracles of Purim and recognize that's the hand of Hashem too. Yeah? From the open miracles of the splitting of the sea, the 10 plagues of Pesach, a person is supposed to take that and see all those things that were being orchestrated in Megillas Esther that just look like political espionage was also open miracles. Right here, from Pesach, you're supposed to see Purim. That's the idea. Okay. It says, by the way, the plague of darkness was, the darkness came from Gehenna. I don't know what that means. I don't know why that's by the way, but I... By the way, speaking of Gehenna, okay. Now, here's something to make you guys feel better. Whew. These guys are... Alright, this is a vort from the Sfas Emes. He says, I don't know exactly how it connects to the Parsha, he says on chapter 10, verse 3, Ad maslai ma'anta la'anos mifnai. You know, how long will you refuse to, let the people go, basically all this thing with Paro. But Sfas Emes says on this verse, the problem that he's comparing Paul to Jewish people, that Paul didn't even feel bad. Oh, mamish, he didn't feel bad that he wasn't doing the will of Hashem. He says the difference is when a Yid, even a Yid who becomes a Rasha, at least something, there's a kernel deep down inside of him that he doesn't feel good about it. He feels some agmas nefesh, it's called. He feels some sorrow in his soul. So deep in the soul of every Jew, he says this agmas nefesh that they're not doing the right thing. You want to say it's guilt, okay. Agmas nefesh bet pnim yezu nechshavis b'shamayim gam hi l'madrega. This agmas nefesh, this kvetch, this feeling, I'm not holding by this. I wish I was. I wish I was learning. I wish I felt more spiritual, but I don't, right? The fact that you feel bad about it, that's considered very high in heaven. And he calls this Vizui Rava de Ra'ava, Ratzon le Ratzon. It's like a will. I wish I had a will to do your will, Hashem. I don't, but I wish I did. That's very beloved in Hashem's eyes. That you want to have that will. And from that, that's like the eye of the needle. From that, Hashem will open it up. Just having that desire, not feeling complacent, right? The fact that you don't feel all these things that we're talking about, Geula, Neshama, of feeling spirituality. Look, you know, with the black hat, everything else, guys, I don't feel the Shabbos like I should. I don't feel a bruch. I don't get a geschmack and put on tefillin and wear in tzitzis like I should. That could be talk of Gehenna, you know? Get to Gehenna. You see that? That's so, tefillin is so geschmack, being a torn Jew. I didn't enjoy it. I partially didn't enjoy it. That might be Gehenna. I had a unique opportunity on earth, being a Jew, to serve you, do Torah mitzvahs, and I didn't enjoy it. Pashut, just eat the Hashem Simcha. Enjoy being a Yid. Okay, but the fact that we feel bad about it, right, that's considered very high on heaven. That's, I think it's a stepstone to getting there. You can't use it, you know, you just feel bad and, you know, don't try to grow and actually do the mitzvahs. You know, that's... But... I don't know. You know, Hashem judges everybody individually. It's not one blanket thing for everybody. Everybody, according to their certain, the madrega they're on, right? Right? And the maisa, a person really feels that it's going to lead him to do mitzvahs. It's going to lead him to a more spiritual life. And you'll see that you'll start feeling things more than you realized. You know? The truth is deep in every Jew. A Jew, even a completely assimilated Jew, right? Out there who seems to be very happy in all the secular things he's doing, the truth is deep inside, he's not happy. He's not happy. You may not know why he's not happy, but there's not a peace of mind. There's not a tranquility. There's not a tranquility. There's something gnawing at him, not finding satisfaction. You know, some. So therefore, you know, they go to see massage people and whatever, and therapists, and psychologists, and, you know, is that right? All these people, right? Alright, question you're asking. First of all, a lot of times secular people give tzedakah to the mamish tremendously wrong causes, and that's not tzedakah. In fact, they could be machzik yedei rasha. They could be upholding the hands of wicked people. Right? They could be giving money to institutions that stand against Torah and everything, or whatever it is, or these liberal causes. Okay?
They may not be aware of it.
Yeah, they may not be aware of it. But people like, there is such a, I mean, you know, there is such a thing as giving tzedakah, like a person helps whatever, you know, orphan children, non-Jewish orphan children. There's a tzedakah there, but there's different levels of tzedakah. And certainly your own people come first. Yeah. A person is given an ability to find the truth. He's given an ability to, and he can't cop out. It won't work. You know, a person could be very wise and intelligent, a philosopher and everything, you know, and drink whiskey and get drunk, and he cannot come to Hashem on the day of judgment and say, you know, I thought the purpose of the world was to get, you know, to drink Jack Daniels and get drunk. You know, that's not going to work. It's not going to fly. Hashem gave man intelligence, a brain to seek the truth, and he's got to find it. Okay. Now, one of the reasons for the hardening of Paro's heart continuously, and why, and it says, you know, he won't let you out, he keep a yad chazaka, only with a strong hand will I force him out, right? And, okay, one of the reasons for this, again, to set things up for the future. There's certain things over and over that happen to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Shvatim, and in Mitzrayim, only to set it up in the system. And the reason Paul's heart was hardened, and he was so stubborn, and then he was forced to let us go, so it would set it up in the system during the final redemption, right? That there's nobody, no matter how tough they are, no matter how stubborn, no matter how wicked, that will keep the redemption back. When it's a will of Hashem, Hashem will break them down. It had to be set up this way, in other words. This is all from the Kedush Yerim. Okay. Okay, there's a famous Chinuch. Chinuch is a certain book that goes through all the mitzvahs of the Torah, that in this parsha, he brings down about all the different mitzvahs involved with coming out of Egypt. Right? Let's name a few. Tefillin. Right? We say Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tzitzis, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, the recital of Shema, right? We have the mention of Mitzrayim, Kiddush, right? The mezuzah, right? Every holiday, we say Zech L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Over and over again, everything seems to be centered about coming out of Egypt. So he says the reason for this is following. Acharei pa'ulos nimshach halavavos. That outward actions draw the heart. In other words, for example, doing all these mitzvahs involving Mitzrayim implants in us, continually sensitizes us this big concept, this big fundamental concept that we were taken out of Egypt to be servants of Hashem. So we have to have a lot of symbols for it. Because acharei pa'ulos nimshach halavavos, a man's heart is drawn after his actions. And that's why, by the way, on Pesach, during the Seder, we don't sit back like kings. We do all these things. We lean, we drink wine, we eat maror, we have matzah, right? We have matzah, right? And we do all these things, right? Because we're trying, the more actions that draws the person's heart to the action, to the concept. So then he goes on to say, this is interesting, afilu tzadik gamor, even a perfect tzadik, right? If he starts doing acts of cruelty, he'll become a Rasha. He'll become wicked. And he says the opposite. And a person who's wicked, if he starts doing acts of kindness and mitzvahs, eventually he'll become righteous. And because he says, Shekol Adam Nifal Kefipulosav, a person's drawn after their actions. Therefore, it says, the Gemara Makos, Ratza Kodesh Baruch Hu Azachos Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give Israel much merit. Therefore, he gave us a lot of Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, most of us, secular world thinks, Hashem hates the Jews. He wants to see him suffer. Chas v'sholom. So he gave him a lot of Torah mitzvahs. He got him a lot of mitzvahs, a lot of handcuffs, straight jackets. Don't do this. Can't do that. Got to do this, right? That's not the case. Hashem gave us a lot of Torah mitzvahs because he loves us. He wants to give us merit. Okay? And also, continually doing mitzvahs spiritualizes us. Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosecha, that we become spiritualized, holy, by doing your mitzvahs. Right? That's where we go. Because outward actions draw the inner feelings. That makes a person better. Therefore, Hashem gave us many mitzvahs. And in particular with Pesach, He gave us all these mitzvahs because that's an amud godol. Amud godol b'Torah Seinu. It's a big foundation pillar of our Torah. The whole concept of coming out of Egypt and getting the Torah to serve Hashem. And that's why there's so many mitzvahs connected to it. Okay? The little shapsula that we shecht, right, the sheep, the Korban Pesach, was a toivas Mitzrayim. That was, considered an abomination for Egypt. They worshipped this thing. So, the idea here, this commentary tells us, Rav Hirsch tells us, this whole idea of Nisan in the zodiac of the sheep and the full moon when it was at its power, all this is the powers of nature. Okay? And what happens is you find that the Goyim, right, they serve nature. They serve the nature around them, and they're slaves to their inner nature, to their desires. Our redemption from Egypt, right, showed that we're not bound by the dictates of nature around us, right? And we're free of the Mitzrayim inside us. We're not a slave to our desires. That's the idea. A person, even in Egypt, wherever it is, as long as they realize, I'm a Jew, I know who I am, and I'm not giving in, I'm willing to die rather than give up being a Jew, right? They are truly the free person. So that was what happened here. The redemption from Egypt, no matter what happens in the future, Spain or Germany, any place else, the Jew is intrinsically free. Right, there's a freedom of the soul, so to speak. That's the idea of Mitzrayim, the difference in them worshipping the outside nature and their inner nature, while the Jew has nothing to do. The Teva, we're Lamala Mateva, we're above time, Hashem personal supervision over us, right? And the inner dimension, we mishabed our goof to serve our neshama. We make the body subservient to serve the soul. Okay. The final thing here we have is Anilo Dudi V'Dodi Li, I'm to my beloved and my beloved is to me. There's this mutual love between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore this holiday, right, it says this holiday is called Pesach, right? We call it Pesach because what's beloved to us? Hashem saved us. He skipped over our houses. Pesach, right? So we call it Pesach. Hashem in the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos, the holiday of matzahs, the main mitzvah of Pesach, because that's what's beloved to him, that his children are doing his mitzvahs. So that's Ani L'Dodi, I'm to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. We praise Hashem for what he did to us, and Hashem is praising his children for doing his mitzvahs. Right? And that's the concept that on our tefillin, we wear tefillin, it says, Hashem Achad.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.